Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
It's the Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Now, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it is the Chris and Amy Show. Good to have you with us today. For the next 3 hours, we're going to be in your ears. And we have a phone number, 314-436-7900. You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app, which you should have downloaded already. And if you haven't, what's your problem? Get it. And then directly from the app, you can leave us a voice message, record it, and send it to us. Whatever topic we're talking about or something you're thinking about, go ahead and send us a message on that Odyssey app.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Well, St. Louis Alders, I like the word Alders, they propose to create a city administrator position, which could take away some powers, some authority from the mayor. Daniela Velasquez, Alderwoman, will join us today.
And more severe winds in Los Angeles threaten to exacerbate the already burning wildfires as more people prepare to evacuate.
And the Billikens tonight will take on VCU. It is a big game that'll happen at 6 o'clock. And, of course, it'll happen here on KMOX. Earl Austin Jr. will join the show as the Bills are trying to get a pretty big conference win tonight. So, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji with you today. And we have talked a lot, Amy, about the wildfires which continue to rage in Los Angeles. And for the next 24 hours, it is going to be dicey because the powerful winds have come back and are supposed to be back for about a day or so. And, you know, it's already a very difficult environment for firefighters to deal with. And it's going to get pretty bad here over the next day. Hopefully they can contain it a little bit because they've been working, obviously, around the clock to try and stop this thing.
Yeah, there have been so many stories coming out of Los Angeles of people who have lost their homes, some people who managed to save their homes. One over the past couple of days, Ronj, I saw this for the first time yesterday. Dick Van Dyke turns 99 years old this week, and he saw that his home was going to be in the path of the fire. Again, 99 years old, lives alone, and he started to go outside to turn the hoses on around his house to try to water down the area around his house, but the winds were so strong and the air was so bad that he got exhausted, and he kind of collapsed and was crawling around to try to get out. His neighbors, I don't know if they saw him or just went to check on him, but a couple of younger men ran into the house and grabbed him and literally rescued Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
He would have died in the fire. And this guy is amazing. To be 99 and have his attitude, he said, "Don't take me yet. I have plans. I still have things I want to do." So you have stories like that. The communities that aren't right now under threat are banding together with donations, opening up places to stay for those who have lost their homes. A couple of, I was watching a lot of local LA TV, like I said yesterday. Somehow, whatever the default setting is on the TV, it goes to these weird channels like terrestrial TV, but we're getting local LA TV. And on
what is this TV you have?
I don't know. It's mason jars, and I have no idea why it goes. Because most of the time, like, Gunsmoke is on.
Is it like one of those dash 2 or point 3? How you get like 4.2 on your TV?
I've had that before. It doesn't look quite like that. Again, it looks like free cable, which doesn't exist. So it's got to be terrestrial TV. But like Gunsmoke is always on or some weird Western. At any rate, for whatever reason, now they are piping in local LA TV. So I've seen this here, seen it on CNN, where a few people have literally taken their garden hoses and just sprayed down around their homes. One guy said he saved his house by buying hoses and those old school oscillating sprinklers that go back and forth. And he set them on his roof and around the yard, and then he evacuated and his house was still standing.
It's amazing that even worked.
It's amazing.
It's amazing that's enough water to work.
I know. And I think what it does show is while the fires would have been devastating no matter what, water does do more than you think, even amongst the worst flames, because all these homes around his house were devastated. And that's why I think a lot of people are frustrated with the shortage of firefighters or the water issue, because I think on some neighborhoods, not all, and definitely not those in the heart of it, I think some homes, even if it's a handful, could have been saved, because we've seen it and it blows my mind.
Yeah, see, I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding about the water, and any firefighter I have seen or expert that I have seen interviewed about this has said, we're just not built. The water infrastructure is not built to take on all of this at once. And there was a firefighter I saw yesterday talking about, we would have three fire engines for one house in a typical house fire. And now they just don't have the equipment. And it's not that there wasn't enough water. It's that there just isn't enough water to fight a blaze like this. And there probably never will be.
But here's where I think there could be, because we are the richest country in the world. And this is, you know, one of the richest areas.
They're saying that it's not. They are saying the infrastructure is not built for
this. But that's what I mean. Change the infrastructure. If you know.
Okay, well, that's billions of dollars. Yeah. So then the residents of California have to be okay with spending billions of dollars, their taxes going up even more to facilitate this.
Right. Or somehow, whatever they're spent, you know, residents of California already have.
A lot of it went to police, by the way. Some of the funds were diverted from the fire department to the police department. So they have to be okay with that, too.
They have some of the highest taxes already, highest property taxes. Here, they live next to an ocean. Is there not some technology that can pump, not desalinated water, forget the desalinated water, just pump ocean water?
Well, apparently not.
But I mean, I think you could make it, because in Japan, in the forests, because they were looking into this, you know how we have fire hydrants? They literally have these emergency sprinkler systems where it's the infrastructure where fire hydrant or fire hose level sprinklers come out of the ground from the city when there is in dangers, and it just soaks the area. So I think if we, with all the technology that we have, I find it so hard to believe that could we figure out a way, especially if California is leading the way in climate change, then why can't we say, all right, we have to prepare for this. Let's create some kind of system that could channel water from the ocean.
Terrain could be difficult because a lot of this is mountainous. If you see where the Palisades fire started, that terrain is
Pretty
impossible. Impossible. So what I would say is this. I think all of this is there's been so much effort, and it was immediate from mostly Republicans to blame Democrats who lead either the state or the cities involved and say, this is the Democrats' problem. This is their fault. The reason these fires are so bad is because of them. Look, maybe in the end, when the whole thing is over and they do the postmortem examination, they will find that there were some massive failures. Maybe they will find that a few things need to be tweaked here and there. But I think that most of this criticism is just an opportunity. They see it as an opportunity to score political points.
Maybe
and they
Fox
started
News.
It on day one.
Yeah, but I guess
well, not just on Fox News, because you're having actual politicians do it. The incoming president is doing it. He was blaming Democrats on day one.
Right. But that's why I liked watching the local L.A. news, because a lot of them arguing, going back and forth, they're all Democrats. They're all elected Democrats. They're all people who voted Democrat, in the same way that within the city of St. Louis, the entire board of aldermen is Democrat, and they may not like each other. You know, Kara Spencer is very progressive, but she's nothing compared to Megan Green, who's even more progressive, right? So by watching the L.A. news, what's been really interesting is seeing it as not a Republican-Democrat failure, but as a leadership failure. You can be a Democrat and have great ideas when it comes to race or women's rights and all this sort of things. However, be a bad leader when it comes to infrastructure. And I think that's what the LA news was focusing on. It wasn't focusing on party. It was focusing on leadership capability. And I think they're just thinking, all right, we know about the Santa Ana winds. Like, we knew fire.
And it's hitting, drier than usual.
Yeah, Los Angeles is a huge deal.
Which is not any city leader or state leader's fault that it's drier than normal now.
No, but I think adjusting to that, to me, makes sense. And I do think of how over the past couple of days, like I saw on Instagram, someone who lived in the city said, getting radicalized by the lack of snowplows, you know, how she wants a different mayor because of that. That's a very natural reaction, is to say, how did this happen? And so for them to look at leadership, I think it would be criminally negligent not to say, how can we be better?
I think it's, yeah, oh, sure. How can we be better? But I also think that people in large natural disasters like this one, they have unrealistic expectations of how their individual situation should be fixed. I think that it's when we go back and look at this, and it will take a long time to assess the whole thing and do it honestly. There's going to be a lot of politics that get, it's already happening. It's going to be a lot of politics that get played when it's over. But if we're doing an honest assessment of what happened in the end, you'll probably find that, yeah, some things could have been done better, but this was not a disaster created by a political party. I promise you, if Arnold Schwarzenegger is the governor, this is still happening.
Oh, sure. And I don't think, I mean, that would be silly to
argue. And it's still devastating and awful, and yeah, we're still talking about it a week and a half later.
For me, it's like, but could you have saved some neighborhoods? Could you have saved some homes?
Sure. That's with any disaster.
Yeah, and I think that's what people need to look at.
Hurricanes in Florida, I'm sure. Same thing could be said every time.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with insurance rates and how insurance is going to work in a place like California now. We talked about State Farm. All state farmers all failed to renew lots of insurance policies over the past year or couple of years. And there was a Harvard Business School study that looked at how states regulate insurance. And it's like pretty interesting, but there are price controls and regulation. So if an insurance company says, we want to raise our rates 40%, the state regulators will say, that seems exorbitant. You can raise it 15%. So then that's like a 25% rate suppression. Yeah. So what they did say is California Proposition 103, it does suppress. California ranks 50th or last in rate suppression, and it also ranks 50th or last in speed of rate approvals. So what they're saying is when insurance companies are forced to sell way below cost in California, knowing that it's a high danger zone, they're just going to start pulling out because they're like, this is not worth it. But then also, because the speed of rate approvals and assurance in insurance is so slow in California, they also can't adjust to threats. And yeah, so I do think they might have to look at that to make it viable for insurance companies. I don't know.
Let us know what you think. Leave us a message on the Odyssey app. You can record it and send it. Of course, the phone number is active for calls and texts, 314-436-7900. Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you in just a few minutes. We will chat with the St. Louis Alderwoman representing Ward 6, Daniela Velasquez. She has proposed a plan to, it's not stripping the mayor of the powers, it's moving those powers from the mayor to a city administrator. Because, Ranji, I don't know if you heard it, the headline first, it sounds like, oh, you're stripping the mayor of her powers. Is that like removing the county executive, Sam Page? That's not what this is. It would reduce the mayor's powers, but it would transfer those powers to a city administrator like they have in Kansas City and some other cities. I think 58% of cities around the country actually have both a mayor and a city administrator. So an interesting proposition. We'll talk to her to see what she hopes to accomplish with that.
So it just sounds like exactly like what the word is, somebody who deals with administrative stuff as opposed to the mayor having to make every single decision. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know how city governments work in that way, but it seems like a position that would be helpful, that if you take some things off the plate of the mayor where they're not having to make every single decision on every single thing, then maybe that frees them up to do more good.
So,
I mean, that's the ideal.
Yeah, so the city administrator basically runs the day-to-day operations while the mayor is still, you know, has veto power, talks to the city, the board of aldermen, directs strategies, is the face of the city to the media, while the day-to-day running this department, street departments, is the city administrator, who, by the way, important to note, is not a politician, is not elected, but is appointed and should have, usually there's a prerequisite that they have, multiple years of administrative experience.
Yeah, so we'll see what Daniela Velasquez has to say. She will join us right after the news at the bottom of the hour. Amy, did you see this story? And I know we're not at did you see this, but I don't know why. It's funny, but it's not funny, I guess. It's one of those stories.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It's hard to say it. It's not funny.
This rumor circulated on social media yesterday that there was a serial killer on the loose in Jefferson County. So the sheriff's office says that there was a social media post and it had been spread with this misleading information about a 40-year-old named Peter Reginald. And the post says that he goes around knocking on people's doors, claiming to be homeless and attacks you after you let him in. And this was the claim on the post was that a 37-year-old single mother said that he had had a knife and he attacked her with the knife and then left her for dead. Well, Jeffco Sheriff had to tell people this is a hoax. This isn't a real thing. This did not happen. There is no serial killer on the loose. That person isn't even from around here. There was a photo that was circulating as well. And this is it's not funny, really, because it shows you how quick and easy it is for a social media post by a bad actor to, and I don't mean bad actor like Tobey Maguire. I mean like a bad actor. I don't even know if Toby's bad. I think he's perfectly fine.
We had this conversation this weekend. I can't believe you're doing this right now.
What?
Because I was talking about a show.
Yeah.
And an 11-year-old said, well, why? What do you mean those guys are bad? Like, they're bad actors.
They're not good at acting.
And then the other girl was like, well, it's just a TV show. I'm like, no, they're not bad actors.
They mean they have bad intentions.
Yes, they have bad intentions.
Like Chris Hemsworth's brother. He's a bad actor. How about that? Actually, I don't think he's that bad either. Anyway, the point is somebody who has ill intentions or trying to be trying to drop a grenade and make people worried, you know, that sort of thing. How easy it is to happen on social media, which to me it's for this to happen right after Mark Zuckerberg's talking about, there was no content moderation anymore. We're not going to have fact checkers. We're just going to let people do whatever they do and let the community decide what's real and what's not real. This is why we have moderation, because when you panic people, that's not good. That is decidedly bad for society.
I like the community notes on Twitter, though. I do feel like there's a Wikipedia-esque nature to it.
I agree, but it shouldn't just be that. You shouldn't leave it up to the people to fact check.
Meanwhile, speaking of, like, I would be terrified if I had heard this rumor and that it was a serial killer was on the loose. That's
trying
terrible.
To get into doors.
Yes. So I call it a bad guy stick. It's not a bad guy stick. It's you remember those door security bars that your grandparents had? Like, you shove the stick, like, under your door handle, and it's, like, at an angle. It's like a bar that goes under your door handle to the ground. My grandparents had those, and I always thought they were absolutely paranoid. Like, Papa and Grandma, nobody's going to break into your home. But we always, when we went to bed at night, had to put the security bars under the door handle. Hot dog, I bought one.
Okay.
Bad guy stick.
What's coming into your house?
But I have one now, and I use it every
speaking
night.
Of that, you ever seen the club? You remember the club that you would put on your steering wheel?
Yeah.
And it would prevent people from...
Oomch, oomch, oomch.
I know this is cliche, but one time I came out of my house, and there was a car parked on the street, this red, just rusted, absolute piece of crap, and somebody had a club on it.
The only kind of car that has a club.
I mean, it was... It was, you could see the inside of the car. I don't mean the interior. I mean like the engine. And this car had a club on it. No one's trying to steal your car, sir.
You don't know that.
That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We will have Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez coming in next on KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy show on KMOX. As we told you, we have Alderwoman from Ward 6, Daniela Velasquez, joining us here in studio. Number of topics we want to get to her, or want to talk to her about, and one of them being a new city administrator position, which has been proposed. And the Alderwoman is in studio with us right now. It's good to have you with us. How are you?
I am, well, doing well in this cold, snowy and icy weather.
Yeah.
Thank you again, both Amy and Chris and Amy, for having me here.
Well, we're glad to have you. We're going to talk about snow in a little bit,
we're
but this
get to that too.
Because
so
there are some people here who just are losing their minds over it, and you represent the area where Tower Grove is, or that general area. So let's start with first the city administrator position, what it is, what it would mean for the mayor and the mayor's powers.
Sure. So this is it would be a charter amendment. It's a bill that is a charter amendment. So as back to our civics 101 or 102, since I'm back here to talk about another charter amendment.
We love charters.
You are supposed to teach that class, right? Didn't we say we were going to bring you in?
Yeah. Hey, let's
charter
do
class.
It.
Yeah.
Let's do a charter class. So actually this bill is several charter changes in one, but it really establishes, the goal is to establish a city administrator, which is essentially a city manager. It is a city manager, but we just have to call it a city administrator because of state statute. And what that person does is they are tasked to essentially be the COO or administrator, chief operating officer of the city, tasked with the day-to-day running of the city. Many cities have this. I think the stat is 59% of cities in the U.S. over 100,000 people have it. I think there are 120 million people who live in the U.S. who live in a place, whether it's a city or a county, that has a government that has an administrator. And so really what this does is it does a few things. One, it brings continuity. It modernizes the government. It takes the politics really out of the whole process of operating government. And ideally, you have a city administrator, a city manager who's there from administration to administration. Now, they don't have to be, but in many cities, that's what you have. You have somebody who is there for multiple terms, and their only job is running the city. So elected officials can focus on leadership, on setting a vision. And
bigger scale stuff.
Bigger scale stuff. And then the city administrator is tasked with the day-to-day operations piece of the city.
So I want to ask you, what prompted you, what reasons do you have to propose this bill?
Well, back to the civic sort of 101. I mean, so back in the summer, I had been looking at different charter changes. I filed a couple of charter change related bills. And then kind of during my research, I was like, oh, this would make sense for St. Louis. And, you know, I've said and I'll continue to say it is not a comment on the current administration at all. It is, you know, we've got some long term, you know, challenges in the city. And as we're trying to modernize different ways of doing business, this is one I think that we should consider strongly, just because, I mean, essentially, I mean, if you think about it from a business perspective, I mean, the city is a $1.2 billion organization, right? So you would have, and any, at most $1.2 billion companies, you have a position of a CEO and, you know, an operations department that is, you know, that's what they're tasked with. So why shouldn't we look at the city any other way?
Is there a reason there hasn't been one? Just oversight? What is it?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, it has been talked about before. It has actually been on the ballot before. About 20 years ago, it was on the ballot. And I think, you know, to the reasons why St. Louis, I mean, I could speculate. I think that, you know, we might be in a moment here where we've had, you know, St. Louis has tried on some different things, and we managed to consolidate the Board of Aldermen, for instance, the biggest change in 100 years in government, and it hasn't exploded, hasn't blown up. We've done okay. I think, you know, change is difficult sometimes, and seeing that, proving that, you know, this is an example, the board is an example of change that has worked. We've actually, the board, this 14-person board, 15 if you count the president, it's been able to move a lot of legislation that had been stuck in prior boards. So, I mean, I think it's not a commentary, but, you know, sort of, hey, we can modernize the way we do things. And it works, or it could work. It's working. So why can't we modernize some of the other parts of our government?
I know you said it's not a reflection on the current administration. Your focus is on modernizing. But just in like a conversational way, could I then say that you think a city administrator would say, yeah, if we had this, perhaps trash issues, pothole issues, plowing issues would be taken care of more efficiently than they are now?
Well, if you look at the places that have city administrators or city managers, so Kansas City is one, Cincinnati is one, they're both comparable in size, and you literally look at the organization charts, they have less complicated lines. So, what a city administrator will do is that there is much more, there is a streamlining of how things are run. And you could say that, you know, I think that there would be a way that, that there might be more direct ability to do things in a way that it's just really hard to now with kind of the ping pong, organization of just the way our government is structured that just sometimes makes it difficult for things to get
right. Done. So going from a cumbersome process to a streamlined process, more direct,
right.
More efficient.
Exactly.
How does the mayor's office feel about this?
We haven't had a chance to sit down and go over the bill point by point. So I know that I let them know when I filed it, and I know that they're going to look at it. And, we'll have those discussions. I mean, again, my intent was, we've been looking at these charter changes. The board has a special committee on charter changes, and I wanted to elevate this in the discussion since it wasn't it didn't come up in the way that I thought it should have personally in the Charter Commission, because it seems like, a straightforward, very practical sort of, it's something that addresses what I hear people talking about, infrastructure and services. And, I think a city administrator, adding a city administrator could improve that for everybody. And that is one of the things I hear consistently. And also I know, again, just look at the org chart or, being in City Hall, sometimes it's really hard to do because we have the way our government is structured. I mean, we need to modernize it. And this is one way of doing that that has proven to be effective in a lot of cities.
Just a quick follow up on that. Have you talked to any other members of the Board of Aldermen about this or can gauge how much support you would have?
I have. I mean, so there is, I would say that there is support. We haven't had a whole lot of discussion, and I do plan on having at least one committee hearing. I think we're going to have one next week. I think we're waiting for it officially to be confirmed. I'm looking, and I think that it has been, hearing has been confirmed for next week. So we'll have at least one hearing about it, hopefully more. I think that there is, again, the desire to talk about how do we, make some of those long-term changes to modernize our government.
Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez is with us here in studio and represents Ward 6 in the city of St. Louis. And you had posted on Instagram in response to Governor Kehoe, who assumed office yesterday. He was inaugurated yesterday to become the governor. And one of his six executive orders that he, well, there's six total that he, I thought it were six?
Six, but there's
two in particular. Are the two in particular that you are concerned with? One of them is 287G, and this has to do with states and local law enforcement now being able to assist in enforcing immigration laws. So I know you have some issues with this, with the two orders.
I mean, yes. I mean, I think, I mean, one, just generally, I would rather see us unite around each other than divide us. And so I know lots of folks who are immigrants or who, maybe in mixed status families or frankly, people like me who have a last name that to some people might sound foreign and you don't know who's going to think if you're an immigrant or not, I think are concerned that this heightened a sense of, targeting will affect them. So I think these, the increased connection of like law enforcement and the association of, associating immigrants with illegal crime, again, not saying that we want the public to be safe and we want criminals to be held accountable for their actions. But also I think we have to continue to be mindful of associating some groups with being criminals when they are not. And so that is one part of it. And also just, you know, the idea of if we're going to use our state law enforcement to try and enforce federal immigration laws is concerning.
And so you were asking, it seems from your Instagram post, from clarification of how this will look rolled out.
Yes. And also, you know, I think it's important to really, you know, elevate the sense of we want to. These are people at the end of the day. They're not just political props. So, I mean, if the governor is going to, you know, take a stand on his first day and use these people as part of that, then hopefully he remembers at the end of the day that they are families. They contribute to our economy. They contribute to our community. And certainly they are not all criminals.
Is there any dialogue that will take place with the governor to find out exactly how he wants to implement all this, what he means by them?
I would love to have some dialogue, and I'm certainly open to it.
Also, we wanted to have you in because there have been some complaints, whether it's Soulard, middle parts of the city, that now we are, what, a little over a week from the snow happening. We had a follow-up round of snow that took place right before the weekend, and there are some side streets that have not been plowed, and there are many residents who are complaining about that. What has been the difficulty in getting some of these side streets handled and treated?
Sure. I mean, so I part of the areas that I represent Shaw and Tower Grove South, along with Compton Heights and portions of Dutchtown. I personally live in Shaw. I live on two streets that have not been plowed.
Yeah.
So
it's an adventure every day.
Right. As you see, I still have on my snow boots. I reached out to the administration yesterday, and I was very grateful that Streets Director Bethany Williams sent a letter out to the Board of Aldermen. We posted it to my Instagram and to our a couple of the neighborhood groups on Facebook last night, because personally, in my ward, I can't speak for any other alders. However, I don't think I'm alone. I probably had about 15 emails just over the course of the weekend with people asking about what's happening. I do understand, one, that there's some misinformation that despite the reduction in the budget for salt, the city does actually have enough salt. But they have been prioritizing the main arterials, and it's my understanding that it's never been the city's policy to plow the side residential streets. Now, it doesn't mean that they shouldn't be salted. And so I think, you know, what I hope is that we're going to continue to salt and hopefully pre-treat or do any kind of treatment that we can as the weather continues to get colder, because the issue, as I think we all know, since we are all not in our house, is that it's icy and dangerous, and really that's worse than the ice. So, I mean, I know also that my colleague Ann Schweitzer, who chairs the Public Infrastructure and Utilities Committee, or Public Utilities Infrastructure Committee, is actually having a hearing on this tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. specifically to talk about what happened and the response. So I do think that hopefully the next storm around, that we can prepare in advance for the cold weather and the ice on all those side streets.
And as a quick note, Connor Kerrigan from the mayor's office did say that in December they ordered some smaller trucks, like smaller plows, to fit on the side streets, but those won't be getting here until this, you know, spring, early summer. So obviously that's good for next year. Not a lot of help right now, but.
Right. And we heard that too. And I know, I mean, it's, if I had a magic wand, or if I could be the city salt bay, that was probably a bad joke.
You know what? You can have that one. You should hear Amy. It's awful all the time. So you can have that. You're a guest.
Oh, no.
And they don't let me do puns. Puns don't want elections. Maybe they do. I don't know.
That's why I've never won an election. Puns all day, baby. I'm on your side.
See, there we go. I like to pontificate. Okay, I'm going to stop now.
No.
They're
going to
kick me off the air.
All
they're
right.
going to stop. They're going to. No, but I mean, I do wish that we feel a little bit. We're hoping for some more action. There's not a whole lot we can do except ask questions. And that's, you know, it's frustrating for us too, just to, you know, hear the stories, and I, you know, saw pictures of school bus sliding out on in one neighborhood, and I've been on a thread of emails just asking particularly for the schools to be areas around the schools to be clear. And I know that those notes have gone to the administration and to the streets director, so they're aware. So I know that they have them, and I do hope they're taking them seriously, and I do think that they are. As we get, you know, as the weather continues to get colder tonight.
Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's the Chris and Amy Show. Did you see this? Next.
Did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
Okay, well, Ronj, I don't know if you saw this. I can't believe I didn't know this until this morning, but Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes had a baby this weekend on the bye week, which was good timing on their part. And so the baby's name is Golden Ray. Okay, that's unusual. The thing is, his other two kids' names are Sterling and Bronze. So now he has three kids named Sterling, Bronze, and Golden. And I, to each his own, but this is America, and we can have opinions. I think that's awful.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
And then
I mean, you can name your kid whatever you want.
Yeah, but if you're Bronze, don't you feel like you're the least favorite of the three? Gold, first place.
Yeah,
Sterling,
yeah, yeah.
Second.
Or you're just the third. If you did well,
Bronze was first, I think. Bronze was second. Sterling was first.
That's weird.
And they didn't even get the medals in the right order. They should have named their first kid Gold, their second kid Sterling, and their third kid Bronze.
Yeah, that's probably better.
But they didn't.
It's funny you bring this up, because I know you haven't seen this. I on my YouTube feed, every now and then, I get these suggestions of reaction videos of people listening to music or you know, watching videos of older artists, like younger people. And they're like, this young couple reacts to Radiohead. And that's exactly what it was. It was a Radiohead in rainbows listening.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a couple, and they're fairly young, and they are, I think, Radiohead fans. But they had the woman's younger sister, who was 20 years old, who was part of this video. And the sister's name, and I had to rewind it, because I'm like, did I hear that right? Her name was Nirvana. Her parents had named her Nirvana, which I thought...
I believe it.
I'll tell you what. I know parents like to get creative, and most of the time they sound stupid. I think it's awesome. I love that name for a kid. So she looks like she's about 20, maybe 22, 23, and her name is Nirvana.
Were they...
I think that's great.
Now, I think, is Nirvana an Indian concept that they what you wouldn't name your
no,
kid?
No, it's a grunge band from the 90s.
No, I know that, but
one of the most important bands in music history.
But it's also a concept, right?
Yeah, it's a concept.
So, but do you think anyone names
it's Nirvana is heaven in that?
Yes. Yeah, so you maybe wouldn't name your
kid. No, I think it's after the band. It has to be.
It probably is, because it's the right age. It's the right age. You would name your kid Nirvana.
How good is that? I love it.
I can't tell.
It's so way better than Gold, Sterling, and Bronze.
You gotta own it. Like, you know what I mean? Your personality and look has to own the name. Because if you're just like, picture like Steve Carell in The Office, Michael Scott, if his name was Nirvana Scott, you'd be kind of like, well, doesn't really, it's kind of bleh.
I would name my kid Nirvana. Oh, I can't now. Well, for two reasons. One, I don't have one. Yeah. Two, I can't steal it from somebody else. But I love the name.
Well, you gotta live up to the name, I'll tell you that. You better be cool. That's a lot of pressure.
Seems cool. I don't know. That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ronji. When we come back, the executive director of Cardinals Care, Michael Hall, will join us because winter warm-up is coming up this weekend. We are getting close to baseball. It's KMOX.